That is why your name is to be forever praised. Hallelujah. Lord, we glorify your name, Lord, tonight. Oh, Lord, take glory, Lord. Take glory, Lord. Take glory, Lord. Take glory, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. You may be seated. Praise team, please stay. Stay for a few minutes. Since we are all scattered all over the place, I'm going to ask your indulgence. Let's just move to this middle row. Those of you who are on the sides, just move over here. So we just concentrate in the middle here. Thank you. Everybody, please move to the middle rows. Thank you very much. There's an old time song that comes to mind that I'd like to sing. And those of you that know it, you can just join along. It says, Christ is the answer. He's the Savior. He's the baptizer. He's all I need. Amen. If you believe that, you can say amen with me. Come on, folks. We're a little too suppressed tonight. I don't know what's going on. You know, I like it when it's a little noisy. You know, so the Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So let me hear somebody shout the praise of the Lord here tonight. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Christ is the answer to all my longing. Christ is the answer to all my needs. Savior, baptizer, the great Redeemer. Oh, hallelujah, is all I need. Christ is the answer to all my longings. Lift up your hands, everybody. Christ is the answer. And lift up your heads in expectation. You are my need, Savior, baptizer, the great Redeemer. Oh, hallelujah, is all I need. Sing it one more time. Christ is the answer to all my longings. Christ is the answer to all my needs. Savior, baptizer, the great Redeemer. Oh, hallelujah, it's all I need. The Comforter has come. Hallelujah. The promise of the Father has been given. And he said we should go spread the word around. How do we do it? By letting him flow through us. Hallelujah. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given, go spread the tidings round. Wherever, O man is found, the call for time has come. Do you guys know that song? The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Go spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come all over this place. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Go spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. 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 The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Holy Ghost from the Father's promise given. The Father's promise given. Go spread the tidings round. Go spread the tidings wherever man is found. Wherever man is found. Oh, the Comforter, the Comforter has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one more song that we are going to sing. You know, before we get into tonight, I'm so excited. Amen. I am so excited because of all the good things that the Lord has promised us. And we're going to sing these songs here, right here. He says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm." Oh, the Lord said, "I will restore." You know, there's a lot of restoration that we need. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pick up the pace for this one a little bit. You know, so, you know, just a little tempo on it. I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. The worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cowworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, I will restore. I will restore, say the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Let's put our hands together for the Lord for that wonderful promise. He will restore. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God will restore? Amen. That's Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And you know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and quoted this verse. Because they saw an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And every time the apostles used to go back to the Old Testament and quote from there, even Jesus, from time to time. You know, I mean, Jesus told them. Jesus didn't tell them exactly to wait for the promise in the book of Joel. Jesus told them, wait for the promise of the Father which you have heard from me. And but when Peter would speak up and say something on the day of Pentecost, he went right back to the scriptures. Because you see, everything in the scriptures dovetails together. Amen. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, we started by the grace of God this series last Sunday, and I believe that God has something tremendous for us. You know, when the Lord gave us this faith lab, you know, he told us, you know, one of the things was that, you know, we come here, we practice the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's kind of what you do in a lab. You practice something. You experiment, you know. So that may sound a little sacrilegious to somebody, but, you know, that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. If you don't practice, you can't be perfect. He said, walk, run, and fly. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You know. There's a lot of things that they can do, you know, but a little kid cannot walk if first they don't crawl, you know. And if they can't walk, they're not going to be able to run, you know. So, you know, one of the things that we want to encourage, you know, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the body ministry. And I'm going to pick it up by the grace of God on Sunday. And every chance we get, you know, after Sunday, we're going to have a night vigil. The first Friday of the month, I'm going to be talking about it every chance I get, you know, until we see the total worship experience. Amen? Amen. That's right. So that's where we're going, you know. And so tonight, you know, I know many of us have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we have many new people that the Lord's blessing us with in this church. People are coming and going and so forth. And we want to make sure that we all understand we're all blessed. Amen. So tonight I want to speak a little bit about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to speak about that a little bit, but I'm also going to speak about the body ministry. We will pick this up more on Sunday when there's more people here. But it's very, very important. Now, you all know that this series that we're talking about is about the Holy Ghost. So you could call this the Holy Ghost night if you want. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's about time, folks. You know, it's about time. And what we are going to reveal in these lessons as we go through is to let us know, you know, our role. One of the things that God is going to show us is how you can identify the gifts of God that are already in you. And if you don't have, you know, how you can pray to have. And also how you can understand and identify the calling of God for your life. Amen? Amen. Also, we're going to be talking about how using your gifts now, the gifts you have right now, can actually lead you into God's perfect calling for your life. Praise the Lord. You know, because sometimes we're waiting for some magical thing to happen. No, you have to use what you have now. Praise the Lord. We already preached that. We started leading into it some weeks ago when we preached on, you know, the God requiring fruitfulness and God wanting us to use what we have now. You know, so I'm going to lead this off into a little story from the Bible. Now, the story of Joseph in the Bible and the story of Daniel in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to go into all those stories tonight because that's not really my topic, but I just want to give it to us. I might go even deeper into that on Sunday as the Lord leads. I don't know. But Joseph, you remember his story. He had this gift of dreams. And initially, he didn't quite know. Maybe he didn't know that he had the gift of interpretation as well. You know, but he had this gift. And you will see that, well, initially using the gift got him into trouble, but it actually also got him into God's perfect will for his life. Amen? Amen? Amen. He was destined to become the ruler of Egypt, almost. Vice regent. You know? And it was his gift. The gift of interpretation that he used while he was in prison for the baker and was the other guy, the butler, you know, that's how he eventually moved him into the presence of Pharaoh. Daniel, you know, I'm talking about how you using your gift now can move you into the calling of God for your life, using the gift that you have right now. Daniel also used his gift that he had right now, you know, but God was setting them up for greater things. And they put them into a place where they can use their gift right now. Daniel was faced with an impossible situation. Impossible situation. I mean, nobody ever heard of somebody telling them to tell them their own dream. I mean, if I have a dream, I tell you the dream. Then you tell me the interpretation. That's how it works. I mean, but for me to tell you to tell me my dream, nobody ever heard of that. Praise the Lord. But that didn't stop Daniel from believing. Amen. You know, whether somebody has done it before or not, does not matter. We are trailblazers. Amen. You know, God can do anything at any time. And that's one of the things that we're going to be learning with this Holy Spirit. Once you have, remember last Sunday, we were talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. Not the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, just you know, that it was the gift of God to the believer. Now, when you have the Holy Spirit, he can flow through us. So Daniel used his gift of interpretation, and he moved him up. You know, he was able to interpret various things and so forth, and he moved him up. You know, so using your gift now can actually, and we've seen the story that Jesus told. I've already preached that in the sermon on God requiring faithfulness, I mean fruitfulness, so you have to listen to it. You can see that Jesus himself told the same principle. You know, the ones that use their gifts right now that they had, they were promoted. He said, I will make you ruler of many things. Because they used what they had right now. And it moved them into something greater. But the one that didn't use it, well, you know what happened to him? He, even that which he thought he had, got taken from him. And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. So, using your gift now can actually move you into greater things that God has for you. Now let's talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First of all, I mean, all of us have heard the phrase. Well, you know, we heard it last Sunday if you hadn't heard it before. You know, but let's look at the word baptism briefly. Comes from the Greek word baptizo, which is to be immersed. Now, most of us are familiar with water baptism, I hope. You know, and the way that we do water baptism is by immersion. That stuff that some people do with sprinkling water on babies, that's not scriptural. You have to be baptized, which is dipped down into the water. And then come and say, Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism. And whereby we are risen with him again through the operation of the faith of God. You know, buried with him in baptism. We go down and then you come up. Amen. Now, that indicates immersion. Fully immersed in the water. You know, so if the Lord is using the same word for the Holy Ghost, baptism, then we must expect that something like that is to be expected. Now, you may have some good friends in the Baptist places and so forth. They'll tell you that there's no Holy Ghost experience separate from when you are converted. You know. Well, I'm going to give just a few scriptures tonight, clear that one off right away, so that we can see that this experience of baptism of the Holy Spirit is a different, distinct experience from conversion. And as we proved last Sunday, that's a gift to believers, not a gift to unbelievers. Now, Jesus Christ is a gift to the world and unbelievers, but the Holy Ghost is the gift to believers. Now, in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 17, I don't know if we have scriptures up today, but everybody, please open your Bible real quick. Let's go quickly. John 14, 17. Jesus started by giving up. Are we there with that scripture in the back? John 14, 17, up for me. Somebody back there? Or they fall asleep on me? Okay. Now, he's talking about, let's start from verse 16 so get a little concept. Let's get a little context. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, that's what Jesus said. And then verse 17, he goes on to explain it. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know, I told you last week that I didn't have time to read all the scriptures last Sunday. Even the world cannot receive him because it's not for the world. Amen. Amen. Jesus is saying the same thing here. Holy Ghost is not for the world. It's for the believers. See, I'll give them to you. The world cannot receive him because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Remember, Jesus is referring to him as a him. He are not an it. You know, the world seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. See? And he's talking about, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. You know, so these are the two sides of the presence of the Holy Spirit with the believer. He dwells with you now, but he's coming to be in you on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. So right there. So for those that say, well, he dwells with you when you are converted, you are sure. Jesus said the same thing. There's no question about that. But you need to go on to the rest of the truth. You know, the rest of the truth. And this is what this series is all about. In the book of Joshua, chapter 13 and verse 1. Joshua, chapter 13 and verse 1. Real quick, please. Quickly in the back. Let me get these scriptures real fast. Joshua, chapter 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. See, this is what we're talking about. There's still much more. Hallelujah. No matter what you already have, there is much more to be done. There's much more to be received from the Lord. That's what we're talking about in this series. Again, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8 chapter 2. Can you put that up, please? 1 Corinthians 8. And if any man think that he knows anything, he does what? Read with me. If any man think that he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. That settles it right there. So no matter what, even those of us who have think we received the Holy Ghost 40 years ago, well, this scripture settles it. If you know, think you know anything, you don't know anything yet as you ought to know. Which means there are still many more lands to conquer. Amen. There's still more to experience. Hallelujah. So don't stop at Holy Ghost being with you. Get that Holy Ghost inside of you, and you be inside of him as well. Amen. Amen. That's right. Jesus said, you know, anybody that obeys my word and does my will, I will come and manifest myself to him. My Father and I will sup with him and so forth. And, you know, Peter, the apostles and so forth, they said something critical in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Acts chapter 5 verse 32. We made reference to this last Sunday. Holy Ghost is given to the world. But look at what he says here. Acts 5:32, please. Quickly. We are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has done what? Given to them that obey him. Now, the world does not obey him. So the Holy Ghost is only given to those that obey him. Now, this is very critical. This will come to that much later, but this is critical. Holy Ghost given to those that obey him. Now, this baptism of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, we read many scriptures last week in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we are told that Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. We settled that last Sunday. But I want to show you what it is like. You know, there is a story in the book of Ezekiel 47. I don't know why I said Exodus. The book of Ezekiel 47, there's a story there. Turn with me to Ezekiel 47. And I want to show, keep those kids quiet, please. I want to show us a story. Here's what we find in that. There's a story of the living waters. Now, Jesus, you know, said something in John chapter 7, you know, verses 38 and 39. He said, you know, as the scripture has said, he was quoting Isaiah 44 and so forth, I'll pour waters upon the thirsty ground and all that. As the scripture has said, now Jesus always quoting the scripture. As the scripture has said, he that believeth in me, out of his what? Out of his belly shall flow for rivers of living water. Now, that's what we want to talk about tonight. The difference between Holy Ghost being with you and Holy Ghost being in you, and then you being in Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost being in you and you being in Holy Ghost, the same kind of thing. But we want to talk about flowing in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Flowing in the Holy Ghost. So in this story, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47, the Lord would show Ezekiel the word of the Lord by a vision. And he would take him to a river, you know, and the bank of the river, you know, he was there. Every time I read this story, it reminds me of something that I do, you know. Got a little pool in my house, but every time I want to go in the pool, you know, I don't feel like jumping right in. So I sit on the pool, kind of like on the edge. I put my feet inside the water, you know, to get acclimated, because the thing feels cold, you know. But you see, you can sit in that pool edge all you want and put your feet in there. All you want. And that's what most of us are doing. That's what I do every time in that pool. I don't get in there. You know, I just sit at the edge, put my feet in there like that, you know. But you need to jump right in. Amen. Jump right in. You know, the kids will come. They just jump right in. They don't care about nothing. You know, I'll be sitting there on the edge, you know, waiting and so forth like that. You know, jump right in. This story, it shows him. He took him inside the river. And the first time he was there, let's read it. He said it was like, you know, the water was up to his ankles, right? Let me go up here so I can lay my Bible down and read. The water was up to his ankles when he was there, you know. And every time there are measures, you know, measures. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that did not have the Holy Ghost by measure. Amen? Every one of us that is sitting here tonight, and I call apostle, prophet, anybody, we all got by measure. And there are measures. And we can get more measure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 47, this story, every time he measured 1,000 cubits or whatever, he got into a deeper experience. So let's pick up the story here. I'll start from verse 3.
3. The first time he was there, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. This is the last half of verse 3. And the waters were up to the ankles. So, the first measure. Okay. Then he said, okay, well, as if that's not enough. Okay. Measure another 1,000. And he brought me through the waters. Now, all of a sudden, we see that the waters are up to where? Are you with me, folks? The waters are up to where? The knees. Well, he didn't stop there. And God is showing us something. And then he brought him again further, 1,000. He measured another 1,000. You know, this is God is dishing out the anointing. Amen. When he dishing out the anointing, you start, the anointing is only down to your ankles. He dish out some more. You know, if you are willing to press deeper into that veil, if you are willing to press deeper, you get some more. You know, are you willing to get deeper? You get some more. Okay, so this guy, took him a little further, and then he measured another 1,000. You know, and then he got to where? The loins. The loins are like the hips. So you see the progression. But every time there's something measured, it's not just random. There is something that God is bringing out. It's not just random. He's measuring it out. Every time he measured, he got higher or deeper into the waters, into the anointing, if you want to put it that way. Remember, he likened the Holy Spirit into rivers of water. Now, next he measured another 1,000. And this time around, the water has come right up to here. You know, the guy cannot wade in the water anymore. You know, he can't wade in the water anymore. It's a water you can't just wade in. You're going to have to swim. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you have to now swim. Look at the progression. The ankles, the knees, the loins, up to the shoulder and head and the things. It's now fully immersed. Amen. He's now baptized. He wasn't baptized when he was in his ankles. He wasn't baptized when he was in his knees. But baptizo means immersed. He wasn't baptized when he was up to his shoulder. But now he's baptized fully. Hallelujah. He had to swim in it now. So that's something to keep in mind. Let me go back down here and talk to us. The problem with most of us, some people don't even get to ankle deep to start with. And we've had many people in the church come and go for years and so forth, you know. But God said it is time. Amen. Amen, folks. Now, we want to move from just standing on the water's edge. And Holy Ghost just reminded me, read something else. Okay, so go back there. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 47. You have to listen to the Lord too when he talks to you. So, let me go back to Ezekiel 47. And I got to read this. Just told me. Go back and read what happened after the end of all of that. Verse 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? He asked him. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now, he just pointed this out to me that I need to read this. So, let's see what he has to say. We are going to find out in the next verse. Now, when I had returned, see, he's gotten through all this experience, you know, and then he brought him out, put him in the brink of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river had many trees, see, on every side of the river and so forth. Now, many trees, you know, trees sometimes represent peoples, you know, but they're like people that won't jump in. You know, they won't jump in. They're just on the bank of the river. Now, we don't want to be on the bank of the river. Amen? Amen. You don't let somebody else be the one that will go in and come back and tell you. Jump in yourself. You know, because all these trees are kind of waiting for Ezekiel, come back and tell him the experience that he had. And they were just out there. You know, we're just dealing with it as though it were a parable. They were just out there at the brink. But that's not good enough. They got to get in yourself. Praise the Lord. You cannot, nobody can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit on your behalf. Hello? Nobody can receive baptism of the Holy Spirit on your behalf. This is something for you. Hallelujah. But the thing, though, is this. And I may repeat this on Sunday because it's very, very vital. I wish the whole place was full tonight. For most people, even the people that have experienced the Holy Ghost baptism, you know, and some people may still be in here and say, what is the Holy Ghost baptism anyway? You know, as we go along, God will reveal it to you. Amen. Even for those who have experienced the Holy Ghost baptism, what happens most of the time is we come to church, most people, and this is something the culture that God's been dealing with me about for the last few months. We come to church only expecting to receive from the Lord. We come to the church expecting to receive, expecting to be blessed. We come because we have a pain in our body, expecting to be healed. Now, that's all wonderful. We come, you know, expecting a word from the Lord that's going to lift us up. That's wonderful. That's going to carry us through the week. But most, in fact, 99%, as God has showed it to me, of believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they don't go to the church with the mind of giving back. They go with the mind of receiving. Hello, are you still with me, folks? So we're going to be talking tonight about that body ministry. You know, to get us to the point where before you come to church, you get yourself ready. Hallelujah. In a great house, we read this last Sunday in Timothy. There are many vessels, silver, gold, wood, stubble, any kind of rubbish, but also there's good stuff. Amen. Amen, folks? Amen. I mean, every house. In my house, my wife has this nice china. Beautiful things. You know, they are reserved for special occasions. And then we have some run-of-the-mill stuff everywhere everybody can use. But this stuff, we have our God's visitors. Praise the Lord. So, you know, but the scripture goes on to say, if any man purges himself, he will become a vessel fit for the master's use. So, the onus is now upon us to purge ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Purge yourselves. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Can you put that up for me, please? 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Quickly, please. Quickly. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. What promises? Well, so many wonderful promises. The promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. The Holy Ghost fire that is coming upon you. All these wonderful promises that we're talking about. What should we do? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us do what? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Not only of the flesh, but even filthiness of the spirit. That's all false doctrine, false teachings, things that have not worked. Amen. That's right. You got to cleanse yourself, you know, so that we can perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, we have been fed many things over the years and so forth, and this stuff doesn't work, you know. So we are going to go back to what actually works, which is the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is His own interpreter. So we're going to go back, you know, see it right straight from the Word. And the simplicity of the scriptures. You know, for those of you who have experienced God in, you know, previous moves, you remember that it was the simplicity of it. You just believed God. You took God as His word. And God began to do things. You know, you didn't have too much knowledge to criticize and dissect everything and so forth. You just believed God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how important that is. One day, many years ago, my wife, who is sitting here now, we were in a city called Lagos in Nigeria, and God would deliver a crazy person through our hands that day. Crazy. I'm a madman. You know, somebody who was like the guy in the gatherings. Nobody, by race course in Lagos, nobody would pass where he was. When you're coming on this side of the street, he had some rocks. And he lived underneath there. And when you're getting on that side of the street, you go to the other side. Because this guy can jump on you, tear you up, and do anything. And he terrorized that place. And he was there for years. I don't know how long. So one day we were going along. And we came to that place. And I recognized that the guy was over there. So I quickly crossed over to the other side with my wife. And the Lord said to me, pretty much, well, I'm now using American language. I don't remember how he said it. But it's like, you got to be kidding me. you know, that's not what he said, but it pretty much means that. You got to be kidding me. You know, are you kidding? You know, go back and do something. So I said, you know, so I tried to say, hey, you know, well, I got to protect my woman, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know. So anyway, finally I, you know, shake it up a little bit, go back and face this guy, you know. I don't know what's going to happen. This guy comes at me, you know. I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of him, you ugly spirits, whatever. I don't remember what I said. I said something. The guy did all kinds of, you know, rigmarole and things and so forth like that. You know, you won't believe the horrible, horrible smell that came out of this guy. In a minute or so, he came down to his senses. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. We took the guy to the Salvation Army. He got cleaned up, got some clothes. He attended fellowship one day, gave his testimony. You know, praise the Lord. Somebody who has been on the street for many, many years. I don't know what happened to him afterwards. But the point I wanted to make is this. The day I came to the fellowship to give that testimony, there was a young brother. I was just believing God. He jumped up. Said, man, I got to go find some mad people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It was his simplicity. People just believed God. You know, we didn't have all this knowledge. Because the Bible says knowledge puffs up sometimes. You know, we just believed God. I mean, I was maybe 20 years old. I don't know what age I was when these things were happening. So many other things that I can tell you. But people believe God. Now, the body ministry. And we are going to get into the total worship experience. I will do that probably on a Sunday when everybody's there. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, we covered some of it on last Sunday. It's more than just a tag, you know. It's not a tag like some of these things that says, you know, I'm a card-bearing so-so-so member of so-so-so, you know. No. Today, it's just a tag that we wear, you know. Who wears it most? Pentecostals. Pentecostals wear that tag by speaking in tongues, you know. If you can speak in tongues, then we know that you have the Holy Spirit. Well, I already proved that last Sunday that Jesus wants much more than that. Amen. 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 He shall guide you into all truth. Amen. He shall bring to your remembrance the things that I taught you. He shall testify of me. You will receive power. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto. And all these things, on and on and on and on and on. Okay. So. But we don't want to just be card-carrying Holy Ghost, tongue-speaking members, you know. How do we identify ourselves? We can speak in tongues. That means we have arrived. No, you have not arrived. There are still many more lands to be possessed. Amen? Amen. Many more lands to be possessed. Hallelujah. Now, the body ministry. It is so important that God devotes many chapters to it in the Bible. In fact, almost a whole chapter sometimes. Like in Romans chapter 12. The whole chapter is devoted to this body ministry. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, most of it, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's start with Romans chapter 12. Go to verse 1. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, look, I beseech you by the mercies of the living God. That you do what? Present your body as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You bring the sacrifice, God will send the fire. Hallelujah. Let me say that to you again. You bring the sacrifice, which is yourself, God will send the fire. Hallelujah. The fire is what we are looking for right now. We have been speaking in tongues for a long time, but we are looking for the fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what? With fire. That's what we are looking for. But you must bring the sacrifice, and then he will send the fire. Hallelujah. Yeah, every time he accepted, he said, I don't have time to go into, but the Old Testament types everything that way, you know. Every time he accepted sacrifice, you know, even the days of Manoah, there was an angel that visited him. I don't have time to read all these stories to you. But when God accepted the sacrifice, he sent a fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The God that answered by fire, let him be my God. We sing that song. You know, and I preached that message years ago here about Elijah, the fire, you know, and so forth. You know, the God that answered by fire. Look it up on the website. Listen to it. Interesting. The God that answered by fire, let him be my God. The God that answered by fire, he shall be my God. The God that answered by fire, let him be my God. The God that answered by fire, let him be my God. The God that answered by fire, let him be my God. The God that answered by fire, let him be my God. Bring the sacrifice. God will send the fire. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, I beg you. See, Paul, passionate plea. I beg you, present your body. Now, we're talking about the body sacrifice, body ministry now. And this whole chapter of Romans 12 is what it's all about. But he starts off by saying, look, you can't be effective in this body ministry. We're going to find out later on how the body of Christ is one, and we are members in particular. But he's addressing each of us right now. Bring yourself to the altar. Hallelujah. And stay there. Stay there. Praise the Lord. See, stay there. It's a living sacrifice. It's a continuous experience. And be not conformed to what? Do not do what? Do not be conformed to what? To this world. But do what? Verse 2. Keep up with me back there, folks. Verse 2. Put up the scripture. Verse 2. Do not be conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, he's telling you that, look, if you are really ready for God to make you, if you're ready to cleanse yourself, become a vessel of honor, if you're ready to be of use for God, you're going to have to sacrifice your life. That means surrender all. You can't have your way. He's got to have his way. The Holy Ghost has got to have his way. Can I get somebody to say that? The Holy Ghost must have his way in my life. Now, so he's going to start now. He has given us the background. Now, verse 3, he's going to go deeper into this body ministry. You know, and he's going to tell us, he said, look, I'm going to declare unto you by the grace of God has given to me for every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Amen? Amen. But to think what? Soberly. Soberly. Verse 3. Think of yourself soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4. Let's go through it. For, now, we're going into this body ministry now. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, verse 5, please keep going. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members
one of another. Amen. Let's stop there for a minute and digest that. Take a look at the human body. Everybody, look at me right now. Head, eyes, arms, everything. Even kids in kindergarten, they start learning that. They draw this and that and so forth. They start learning the parts of the body. We know that the brain is a wonderful coordinator. It's like a computer. It's magical. It's great. It's wonderful how God put it together. Psalm 139. You know, how he put it all together. And it's so wonderful. It controls everything and so forth. You know, every signal goes to the brain. The brain tells everything else what to do and so on. But I tell you, as mighty as this brain is, if you take the brain out of the body and put it over here on this chair, amen? Amen, folks? Amen. It's useless. It can only function within the body. It cannot function outside the body. So also every other part of the body. If you cut off the arm, the body is not complete. And I dare say, folks, the Christian church today is like somebody that's amputated or in wheelchair at best. Because only one or two or three or four will function. The whole body doesn't function. And we need to change that culture right here in our church. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if we only have a head, then we don't have a body. If we only have arms, we don't have the body. But we must have every part. Let's go. Let's read through this real quickly. I have to open to it so I can read it as quickly without having to wait for them to put it up. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Let me just turn to it for a minute. Romans 12 verse 6. Can somebody read it to me? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Notice he said gifts. So we are getting into that now. We have gifts that are different according to the grace of God that is given to us. And he began to mention some of these gifts. Now, I'm going to come to some classification later on. Might be different than what we think. Whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So you can't do it without faith. Amen. Amen, folks. That's right. This is teaching, so I want you to go along with me, you know. Or if you have a ministry, you must wait on your ministering. And if you are a teacher, you have an ability to teach, you must also wait on your teaching. Study to show yourself approved. Hallelujah. Now, if you are somebody that's given to exhortation, then you wait on that as well. If you're somebody that can give, you do that. If somebody that can rule, you do it with diligence. If you're somebody that shows mercy, you do it with cheerfulness and so on. Now, it's body ministry. We all have this thing going on here. And it says, and it begins to tell us many more things. Now, let's pause there and look at it. How do we begin to identify some of these things? Remember, this section we just read introduces some things which we may not have thought were gifts before. Because we are only used to speaking in tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, this and that, gifts of healing, miracles, which we will cover all of them. But now we are talking about showing mercy. Amen? Is showing mercy a gift? Well, he says it. We're talking about ruling. That's administrations. Is it a gift? Yeah. You're talking about, you know, all of these things now. You know, even, you know, he said, he that ruleth, let him do his simplicity. It's a gift. Because he's talking about having then gifts, referring, and so forth. Now, do you have these gifts in your life? I read this example. I'm not going to take credit for this. I read this from somebody. They gave an illustration of something like this. They said, we go into a meeting, so like we're here. In a meeting right now, a small church meeting. And somebody gets up and makes an announcement and says, Sister so-and-so
or brother so-and-so just lost his job. Okay? So, when you are in that assembly, see, when the gifts of this body ministry is working, something's going to operation. Right away. You know. The one that is that had the gift of exhortation. Amen. 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 Or the one that has the gift of showing mercy, that's like empathy and so on. The one that has the gift of empathy, while they are talking, they're already texting the person on their phone. Oh, this and that, and so on and so forth. What happened now? Oh, you lost your job. This and that. Gift of empathy is already working. Whatever else is going on, the one from exhortation and so forth, they already have some stuff in their head, you know, to say, look, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Though you are going through this right now, I will be with you. Whether you are in the waters or this and that, the stuff is already going on in their head. You know, when they see this person, they already know what they are going to do. The one that has a prophecy has a word of prophecy, what God is going to bring, how God is going to bring that person out. And so, can you see how it's working? You know, and it's all there, it's all there, it's all there. You know, so, body ministry. You know. And then the one that is showing mercy, it's already out to go and get some good grocery for the person. They're already out there because they're empathy. They have empathy. They always, when they see somebody, they always want to do something for them and so forth. It's a body ministry. And when we come into the service, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 devotes on. This gifts work in our lives, but when we come into corporate worship, and we're going to get into that total worship experience, how should it be? Well, I love the way that Paul describes it further, and he gives this body example, and almost half of the chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, he devotes to it. So let's talk to it. Let's turn to it, 1 Corinthians 12. And how he begins to talk about, you know, the body, and, you know, don't think that it's going to be one thing and so forth like that. You see? I'm going to start from 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body, you notice that I skipped the gifts themselves. I'm coming back to the gifts. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be bond or free or so on and so forth. You know, we have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one. He's going to say this over and over again, and I'm going to read it. For the body is not one member, but many. Amen? Amen, folks. Come on. Are you with me? The body is not one member. That means the body is not just a hand or an ear or an eye, but many members. Okay. And look at this wonderful illustration that he begins to give here. He said, look, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can you answer me, folks? Answer. Now, or if the eye says, well, because I'm not, you know, the ear, then I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Now, Paul is laying this argument here. He said, look, and he goes on and goes and says, look, if the whole body were an ear for hearing, how can you smell? If the whole body were hand, how can you see? If the whole body were leg, how can you do whatever? And, you know, and he said, but God has put all this together. So they walk together. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You can't go into the shower. And in fact, God revealed this to me one day. Can't go into the shower. And then the hand says, because it's fighting with the feet on that day. Say, well, today you are not going to get a rub down. That's it. You know? So the hand washes every other part of the body. But for the feet, because they are quarreling, no way. Okay. So, well, the feet is going to have his own turn too. Because now, When it is time to get out of the shower, the feet can say, I'm not going, we're not going anywhere. Praise the Lord. You all have to walk together. You know. And there's something very important here, because there is a big fallacy that we have been hearing and people have been making. You know. And when we come to it, some people think that somebody has all the gifts of the Spirit. Well, if one person has all the gifts of the Spirit and everything, they won't need anybody else. Hello? God doesn't work that way. Hear it from me today, and I will stand by this word. You cannot have all the gifts of the Spirit in one person. Because if they did, they would be like one member. And Paul is saying, if it was just one, everything, where was the rest? God put everything, even the part of the body which we consider dishonorable, we honor them even more. They all work together. See, a tree is not a forest. If I am the one that has everything, then why would I need somebody else? And this is how the church has been operating. You know, people come to church thinking that the pastor or the minister or whoever is there has everything. So they don't contribute anything. They just come to receive. Well, you are wrong, folks. Amen? 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 I need what you got. And you need what I got. That's how we work together as a body. And if you are not doing your part, then, you know, that's not a good thing. So, every one of us must do our part. Now, read all of it. If the whole body were this, if the whole body were that, and so forth. And one part of the body cannot say, I have no need of you, to the other person. Amen? It's right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's read it, so that you will see that it's there in the Bible. And the eye cannot say this, if the whole body were this, and so forth. Now, verse 19. If they were all one member. This is what I just said. If they were all one member, in other words, one member was complete without all the others, then where will be the body? So God doesn't do it like that, you know. Now, we are many members, but still one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. This is verse 21. And neither yet can the hand say to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members which we think are less honorable and so forth, we devote even more honor to them, because that's how God tempers the body together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, so we are learning today that, look, the littlest part of the body, the smallest part of the body, has its own usefulness and cannot be discounted. Amen? Amen. And if you say, because I'm just I'm not really part of the body, are you therefore not part of the body? You are still part of the body. Amen? Amen, folks? Everybody, every member is part of the body of Christ, and we must work together. And if one member suffers, the whole body suffers. You know, you can have this little pinky finger, or whatever they call it. I don't know. You know, you can have an infection there. I remember when I was in high school, we used to call it Whitlow or something. You can have that infection there, and it can put you out. Hello? It can put you out. You know, it can be so bad. In fact, just a few months ago, on my job, my other job, this is my real job. Praise the Lord. But on my other job, you know, I was working with somebody, and I was talking to him and so forth. And then one day he sent me an email that, not just to me, but to the group, that he's going for foot surgery and so on. I didn't think anything about it. I told my wife this story. Just foot surgeries, really nothing. The next thing I know, this guy was dead. The next thing I know, this guy died. And what happened? He did the foot surgery quite all right. He came out of the foot surgery. He got an infection. Some kind of infection. And he died from it. I don't know what it is. You know? I mean, foot surgery? I mean, who would have thought? He'll even cut off the foot already. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, foot surgery, you know, foot. I mean, we're not talking of brain surgery or heart surgery or lung surgery or anything. Just foot surgery. I mean, it was just something on his toes, you know, that he went for. contracted an infection, and he died. Folks, every part of the body must stand up for every other part. Amen. Amen. If one part is suffering, every one of us is suffering. If one part is glorified, then we are all glorified. Hallelujah. So, the culture that we are trying to get into is that we shouldn't see ourselves as not important. When you come to the church or the fellowship, you shouldn't see yourself as not having anything to contribute. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, if you turn to it real quickly, 1 Corinthians 14 and 26 says, look, when you come to the church, this is what it should be. How's it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you should have a psalm. Somebody should have a doctrine. Somebody should have a tongue. Somebody ought to have an interpretation, a revelation, a whatever. All of these things are there. The only instruction is, let all things be done decently and in order. Doesn't mean that this thing should not be there. In fact, this is what is expected when we come to church. We should have, you know, but how are you going to get that? First, you must present your body as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Surrender to the Holy Ghost. And when you are coming to church, listen to the Lord for what he would have you do. Praise the Lord. Now, over the years, administrations of service and so forth has taken the place of the flowing of the Holy Ghost. Over the years. Not just in this church, everywhere. Because we want everything to be so perfect. We want the praise team to be perfect. We want the mics to sound perfectly. Anytime it's not perfect, it rattles us and throws off our game. This thing should be perfect. Because, you know, people did it in the Old Testament too. Jehoshaphat, he appointed those who were skilled and he put them in front of the army. And David, he gave laws to the family of Asaph and all of these things of how they should do the singing and make everything perfect. So it should be perfect. But we can be so obsessed with everything being right that the Holy Ghost can't move. Are you still with me, folks? You know. So here's what used to happen in the olden days. Somebody would be preaching. Somebody would jump out and begin to speak in tongues. You know. That was out of order. You know. And then they would say, you know, maybe they shut them down and so forth because they are out of order. And then they get embarrassed. And then what happens is they shut down. It's like, have you ever seen this snail? You touch it somewhere, the rest of it enter inside the shell. Anybody ever seen that? A snail or a tortoise or whatever? Then they just enter into the shell. And that's it. Done. That one is dead. You're not hearing any tongue or any interpretation from them again. And the other person that is looking, say, I'm not going to be embarrassed like that. You know. So, now everybody comes, so we want to be perfect. We don't want to do anything out of order. Yeah, there's time for everything. You know, it's not the time when the guy is preaching. It's the time during the worship. And we're going to come to that. That we should do all of that and so forth. God wants to communicate with us. You know, there are some gifts that are specially for communication. And those are the ones that Paul dwells on mostly in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. God wants to communicate with us through the gifts of prophecy. He wants all of us to prophesy. Through the gift of tongues and interpretation and so on and so forth. Communicate with us. You know. So over the years, because of too much correction and so forth, actually too little correction is bad. Too much correction is just as bad. Amen. You know, you got to let things, you know, take their turn. I mean, the little boy that is trying to walk, stumble around, knock down a piece of glass and breaks it and so forth, you're going to beat that, you know, child so badly, you might discourage them from even walking. I remember one time I had a dog, and I was trying to train, you know, dog training. You know, and one day, I didn't know this, One day, the dog ran out of the house, you know, and went away. And I was looking all over the place for the dog. And then, when the dog came home, I beat the thing silly. Why did you go out? Why are you? I've been looking all over from you. Slap him this way, slap him that way, you know, and so forth. You know, and then when I tried to take the dog training lesson, they told me that that was exactly the opposite. Because what will happen is this. This dog, because he doesn't know any different, ran away from the house. Something made him uncomfortable, and he ran back, and I beat him silly. You know, so now he thinks that coming to the house is actually bad. Praise the Lord. You know, because he didn't understand. You know, and they taught me that, look, when he, after he has gone like that, when he comes back, you love the dog. Then the dog will realize that, oh, house is better than outside. I don't get this love outside. Then he will stay out, he stay indoors. Can you get it? You know, so what we are saying is this. There is a way that we do things. You know, you correct somebody the wrong way, they may get the wrong message. And this is what has been happening. It's not exactly in this church, but the history of the church, church in general, over time, you know. So, you know, when there was liberty, it was great. And then people started misusing it, you know. And then, and so on and so forth. So, we're at 9 o'clock, but I'll take a few more minutes. We want to talk about us getting ourselves ready. And between now and Sunday, I want you to practice this. Practice the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hello? Practice the presence of the Lord. I remember this was one of the things I learned when I was a young man, just learning the Holy Ghost and so forth. You got to practice. You got to practice. You got to practice. Practice the presence of the Lord. You know. And here is where I'm going to talk about the Holy Ghost flowing. Jesus said it. Flow, rivers of living water, flow out of his belly. Let's take a contrast between two things. When I was in school, I learned electricity. When I was in high school. There are some things that are conductors of electricity, and there are some things that are resistors. Amen? Well, if you don't know that, you don't know. But a conductor is something through which some electricity can flow. A resistor is something through which electricity cannot flow. You know. So, which one are you? Are you a conductor of the presence of the Holy Spirit, or are you a resistor? You know, if you resist the Holy Spirit. You know, we're even told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, despise not prophesying, quench not the spirit. Are you still with me, folks? Let's talk with it quickly because, you know, people have despised prophesying. If somebody stand up now and begin to say, give a prophecy. And we're going to come into, not tonight, we're going to come in later on into how those things actually work. You know, some people may say, ah, why now? That's not, you know, this and that. Or if somebody gave a tongue, of course, we know that Paul dealt with that. If somebody gives a tongue, they must also pray that they should interpret. Amen? Amen, folks? Some of you may not know because we have not actually read the scriptures. I'm bouncing around a little bit. But in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me just, as long as I'm bouncing around, let me bounce there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, we are told that we should, you know, there are some things that God wants us to do and some things we should do and not do. Beginning at verse 16, it says, rejoice evermore. Amen. Amen. Pray without ceasing. These are some of the things that God wants us to do. You know, and then he says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19. Quench not the spirit. Hello, folks. 1 Corinthians 5:19. Everybody mark it down in your Bible. Quench not the spirit. Some of us have quenched the spirit. Completely. Either we allow somebody to quench the spirit in us, or we quench our own spirit. Okay? Paul had to remind Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Amen. Stir it up. It's already there. Many of us are here. The gifts are dormant. You need to stir up the gift. You know, and these gifts are not for private consumption. They are for the body ministry. Body ministry. That's what the gifts are for. Now, he says, despise not prophesying. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophesying. You know. Well, you say, well, it wasn't of the Lord. Then prove all things. That's what he said in the next verse. Prove all things. And hold fast to that which is good. Amen. Discard that which is evil. So we'll come later to where, you know, prophecy must be judged. And how prophecy should be judged in the church. We'll come later to where a tongue, when it's given, must be interpreted. But let me bring a cardinal truth to us here tonight. God never told us to ask for something that he did not intend us to have. Hello? Let me say that again. God never tells us to ask for something that he doesn't intend us to have. Then what's the point? Why tell me to ask for it if you don't intend to give it to me? God is not like that. Amen? Our God is not like that. And Paul spent a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 12 talking about speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those three, especially in the assembly. And he said, I would rather that you prophesy. Hallelujah. Prophesy. For ye may all prophesy that all may learn. You may all prophesy. So let's look at it. Well, all means all, right? Hello, folks. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that what? That you may prophesy. So let's look at it. I'm jumping ahead, but I want to throw some of this in tonight so that, you know, we at least get some of this. In the book of 1 Corinthians, let me go up here so I can lay my Bible down. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul started talking about some of these gifts, let me quickly run through them and I'll get into this part that I want to talk about. He talks about the administrations, the operations of the gifts of the Spirit, and the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. Now, if you have the Holy Ghost, any of the gifts can manifest at any time. But you have to let the Holy Ghost flow. Amen? If the Holy Ghost is in you, the gift of the Spirit can manifest. There are certain specializations, you know, but regardless of the specializations, you know, at any time, the Holy Ghost may manifest if we let him have his way. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul was talking about these gifts of the Spirit, he talks about all these gifts, and I will come to them in a deeper teaching. But he's talking about, you know, here he's talking about, look, if we are speaking in an unknown tongue, In chapter 14, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, follow after charity, which he spoke about in chapter 13, and desire spiritual gifts. Why would God tell us to desire something that he doesn't want us to have? Why would he be telling us to desire spiritual gifts if it's not his will that we should have these gifts? Desire. Did not Jesus say, what things soever you do what? What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe. See? Believe when you desire. When you desire spiritual gifts, you must also believe. Hallelujah. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and here he goes on to tell all these things. If you speak in an unknown tongue, you are speaking not unto men, but you are speaking unto God, because nobody understands what you're saying. You see? But he that prophesied, prophesied unto men, for what purpose? Look at it. For exhortation, for edification, and for comfort. So God wants to do this thing. God wants to exhort us. God wants to edify us. God wants to comfort us.
But only if you speak in a language we understand. Paul said, look, I speak in tongues more than you all. I thank God for that. I'm not bashing tongues. But in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words than 10,000 words. Amen? In an unknown tongue. You know, he sees it right here. He said, look, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks in tongues, unless the one that speaks in tongues, interprets. So, if you speak in tongues and you interpret, it's equal to, the same person that prophesied. Therefore, let him that speak in tongues, I'm just paraphrasing, I don't have time to read the whole thing. Let him that speak in tongues pray that he should interpret. Every one of you that is able to speak in tongues, yeah, you better pray that you should interpret. And we're going to come later to how God actually uses the speaking in tongues to minister to you yourself and then minister to the church as well. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and spiritual songs and so forth. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. God can use it to minister to you yourself. Amen. Jude says it beautifully. Building up yourself in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's how you build up yourself. God can speak to you. And if you speak in tongues, you can pray. God will give you interpretation. Whether in the church or in your private prayer, you give interpretation. You speak in tongues, you give interpretation. And we're going to show exactly how that works later on and begin to see how you can get into it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, Paul said something here that, look, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Well, if you speak in tongues and you interpret, it's the same thing. Why is Paul saying this? Some people say, well, Paul had all the gifts. Well, I don't know about that because apparently he is not able to interpret here, because if he did, he would speak in tongues and interpret the thing. Why would he say, I'll shy away from speaking in tongues? Just speak in tongues and interpret. That'd be the same thing. But he's proving a point, though, that, look, it's better for me to speak in English than everybody, or whatever language common to everybody. The language that we all know here is English, so I'm speaking in English. If I begin to speak in an unknown tongue, it may not be known to me, and it may not be known to most of you. It might be known to somebody else. Amen? It might be known to somebody else. It might be some language somewhere. Or it might be the tongues of angels. Or it might be something else. Now, but if you stand up, if you're doing that in prayer, that's fine. But if you stand up to speak in the assembly to the people, and this is how people do it. People would say something in tongues as though there was a message from God, to the people, which is wonderful. We want to hear God. But you must interpret. If there's no interpreter, he said, let him be silent and speak to himself. But we want the interpretation. Amen. We don't want them to be silent. Praise the Lord. We have been silent long enough. Hello? The Bible says, pray that you may interpret. Pray that you may prophesy. Seek spiritual gifts. And God doesn't ask us to do these things if he doesn't want us to. Praise the Lord. I'm going to challenge us this weekend. Every one of you that can speak in tongues, pray that you can interpret. Praise the Lord. Hello? Those of you who have not been baptized with us, we will come to that too. But we want to minister to everybody. Even those of you who have been speaking in tongues, but you can't interpret, pray that you can interpret. And then when you pray, listen to God. So don't just pray, blah, 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 and then be done. Take time. When you pray, when you speak in tongues in prayer, here's something that we do a lot when we speak in tongues. We speak in tongues for hours. Well, that's good too, because the Bible says, well, my understanding is unfruitful though when you are doing that. I'll pray with my spirit. That's okay. But if you want the interpretation, you can't do that because it's not going to work. You can't speak for
an hour in tongues, and they think you are going to interpret. That's not, you won't be, you won't even, you can't even do that. Just a little bit, and don't drool off in speaking tongues. Speak, then speak some more. That's okay if you are just praying. But if you want to interpret, you speak in tongues. You pray that you interpret. And God will give you the interpretation. Hallelujah. Well, some of you don't believe it, but it is given by measure of faith. You must have faith to believe these things. You see, I've done it many times in prayer. I will speak, and God will, I will say something else, which is interpretation of what I just spoke. And God actually reveals many secrets like that when you are praying. Hallelujah. So, let's practice that. If you can speak in tongues, speak. And wait. And see if God will give you something. Now, let me just cover this last topic before I close. Interpretation of tongues, I know I'm jumping all over the place, is not exactly interpretation. It's not exactly word-for-word translation. Here's how it works. And I've seen this in actual services, congregations, many, many years ago. Somebody can say something in tongues. And I'm going to say something now in English and then show you an example of interpretation. I can say, I left my keys in my office. Somebody in the audience might interpret that as saying, oh, he said he needs his keys. Hello? That's not what I said. But they already know that I need my keys because I said, I left my keys in the office. He said, oh, you know, he needs his keys. And they're on. You know. And then somebody else might say, he said somebody should get his keys for him from the office. Well, that's not what I said. But everybody's still saying the same thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's how interpretation works. You know, somebody might speak a few words, tongues. An interpretation may go for a minute or two longer. You say, well, why is that? Did he say all that? Well, yeah, well, maybe that's interpretation. You know, or it could be longer, it could be condensed, it could be whatever. You know, now, the operations and the manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, they work hand in hand. But God is not going to force us to do. We must cooperate. Praise the Lord. Open your mouth wide and I will feel it. But you have to open your mouth before it feels it. And if the Holy Spirit is trying to say something and you choose not to say anything, you will not say anything because the spirit of the prophet are what? They are subject to the prophet. If you choose, God give you a message and you choose to keep quiet because you are afraid or whatever, you will be quiet. Praise the Lord. You must speak. Let's stand to our feet this evening. And we are going to practice what I just said. It is faith lab after all. And this is the scary part where some people are already scared. You know, they think, oh, we're getting to heresy now. No, we are not getting to any heresy. This is what the Bible says. Let him that pray or speak in tongues, rather, let him pray that he should be able to interpret. God never said that you should ask for anything that he doesn't want to give us. Luke 11:13 already tells us that. If ye being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Amen? Praise the Lord. I want us to pray right now. If you do not yet have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will speak with tongues. But the fact that people speak in tongues doesn't mean they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. So let's make sure we understand that. Amen? Amen? Every car is a vehicle. But not every vehicle is a car. Devils speak in tongues. I've heard it myself. So, but we are the children of God. We don't speak with tongues of devils. Amen. If we ask God for bread, he will not give us stone. If you ask God for fish, he cannot give you a snake. And if you ask him for egg, he will not give you a scorpion. These things are in the Bible. So when I'm praying that my heavenly Father should give me the gifts of the Spirit, I'm not going to get the manifestation of the devil. Hallelujah. So there's no need to be scared. If you get the manifestation of the devil, then you are not a child of God already. But if you are a child of God, you will get the gifts of the Spirit. And I want everybody to desire spiritual gifts. Because this is what the Bible says. But rather that you may prophesy. Okay. Bro, stay right here. Stay right here, bro. Stay right here. He told me something important. That we should call those who want the Holy Ghost and lay hands on them. So we are going to do exactly what the Holy Spirit said. If you want the Holy Ghost, you come. We're going to lay hands on you. Or if you want the gifts of the Spirit to be stirred up, we will lay hands on you as well. Praise the Lord. So if you want the Holy Spirit, come, we lay hands. Now, we're still going to do some more in-depth thing that will help you understand better. But come, if you want the Holy Ghost, let's lay hands on you. You know, today may be the day of visitation. You may say, well, I've prayed this before and so forth. Don't worry about that. Just come so that we can lay hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We can just lay hands, because that's what they did in the Acts of the Apostles. They lay hands and so on. But Jesus is the one that baptized. Some of you have gifts that have been dormant for years. We need to stir those gifts up. They can also be stirred up through laying on of hands. Hallelujah. If you can receive the Holy Ghost through laying on of hands, then the gifts that are dormant can also be stirred up through laying on of hands. So if you want the gifts to be stirred up, come. Let's lay hands. Remember, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. You must desire. If you don't desire, God can't give you anything. If you do not desire, God cannot give you anything. But remember, God doesn't ask you to desire something that he has no intention of giving you at all. See? And this is part of the problem we have here in America. I myself, who am the preacher tonight, I was looking at the clock. This is part of the problem. We are always looking at the clock. I was already looking at the clock when it was 9 o'clock. I'm like, nah, it's time to wrap up. See, it's very hard for the Holy Ghost to move when we are always thinking of time. See, the Lord moves in a dimension when there is time no longer. No more delay, no more time. You know, don't worry about all that. See, we're already looking at time. Don't worry about it. In the olden days, when we received Holy Ghost, we stayed all night. Praise the Lord. Some of people are scared when I say stay all night. It's nothing to be scared about. So come, let us pray. Let's lay hands. Lay hands.
Let me remind you, when we pray and lay hands upon you, you may sound as if you didn't receive anything. You are not receiving it from us. Hear that again. You are not receiving it from us that lay hands upon you. You are receiving it from the Lord Jesus Christ. So you set your focus on him, expecting him to minister to you and visit you. He may not visit you right here, because that's my experience. You say, well, the lay hands upon me, I didn't feel anything. And you give it up, and you just shun him. No, don't shun Jesus. You have to expect it from him. And you'll be surprised. He might visit you in your room. your house. That was what he did to me, 1974. They called people together and then I came forward and they were there. I saw people started speaking in tongues and to me, nothing. I was discouraged. But he said, don't be discouraged. But that night, he just came down and said, kneel down by my bed. And as I knelt down, he said, start praising me. What I did in the audience, you were all praising there. I said, thank you, Jesus. I didn't get nothing. He said, start again. Start praising me. I was hearing him. And I said, start praising me. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Ping! Like a fireball on me. He can minister to you in your house. So don't be expecting, oh, those pastors, they don't get anything. They lay hand and lay hand, nothing happen. Don't be expecting it from the pastor that lay hand upon you. Be expecting it from Jesus. He is the baptizer. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. And that is the Holy Spirit. I want you to kneel down. You can kneel against the chair, either facing the chair so you have some rest so it's not uncomfortable. You can put your elbows on the chair if you want to. You turn around to the chair or sit down, do whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyhow you want. Even on the day of Pentecost, they were all sitting down. You know, you don't have to kneel down. You can sit down, you can kneel down, you can do whatever. And we are going to pray for you. Praise the Lord. This is the body ministry. You see how the Holy Ghost moved up from Brother Julius. And he came and put something in that we needed to do. And we are doing it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Julius to pray and lay hands on the people. Hallelujah.
All the pastors come forward. Come and lay hands. Father, we are going to obey your word, Lord Jesus. It is your word, and we are just obeying it. Just that simplicity. So when they heard that the Samaritans have received the word, they sent Apostle Peter and John to them. And they just came and they lay hands. And Jesus, you fill them with the Holy Ghost. Father, you told me this last Sunday when the pastor was preaching. And I thought he was going to do it. And he came to the point where I was mentioned that if you have not received at all, no, he's going to call them. He didn't. And I said, well, I told you to go and tell him. Okay. And I said, okay, we are here again, Lord Jesus. Maybe that's why I come today. I normally won't have come today. I said, well, let's lay out upon them. And he came to the point where he said, if you have not received the Holy Ghost, I said, Lord, he's going to call them again. So I called him. Let me go and tell him. And the Lord said, we are going to pray for you and lay our hand upon you. He is the one that gives the Holy Ghost. So now begin to ask Jesus. So just begin to concentrate on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you're going to be telling him. That you have already received it. That he's going to give it to you. You are expecting him. Whether right instantly or when you get home or before Sunday, just begin to believe he's going to give you the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we are going to lay out upon all our sisters and brethren here that are waiting, that are asking for the Holy Ghost. And you, Lord Jesus Christ, is the baptizer. The only one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. No other person, no other person, no other minister is Jesus. Not Apostle Peter, not Apostle Paul, John, not any of those brethren, it is Jesus. Apostle Paul was dumbfounded when the Lord Jesus gave the Holy Ghost to the house of Cornelius. He said, while he was speaking, the Holy Ghost came upon him. He said, now I remember how it was said that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Like John baptized you with water. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We bring our brethren before thee. As we lay upon them, let them receive from you the Holy Spirit, which is a gift of our Father God in heaven. Say, hold up my corner, the shed that here, the cup of water, but shed that here. Say, hold up, just lay your hand upon them. Say, receive you the Holy Ghost. Be asking, say, thank Jesus. Don't begin to ask him. You are here to ask, to receive. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Begin to thank him. Because you have asked, now begin to ask him. Begin to thank him. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me that Holy Ghost. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Now begin to thank him for giving you the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Say, oh, call that by shed that he had a cup, and I call that by shed that he called that order. Say, oh, that cup, you have asked, now begin to thank him. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit that you have promised. In the name of Jesus, go through everybody and just lay upon him. So the call that by shed, I receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. So hold up by shed, I call that by shed, receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Now begin to thank the Lord. Just begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ and be filled and be free. Filled with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Sahara Bakoda Bashadia Rekoba, the Hora Basheta Rekoba, the Hora Bakoda, the Sheta Rekoba Tolari. Sahara Bakoda, the Sheta Rekoba Tolari. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, thank you for giving her the Holy Ghost. Now, begin to thank Jesus. We have laid hands on you. Just begin to thank him. Thank him for that Holy Ghost that you have received, because he is the one that is giving it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Hora Bakora, the Shedder, Yarakomba, the Hora Bashedder, the Kobatora. Say, Yarakora Bakora, Bashedder, Yarakomba, the Hora Bashedder, the Kobat, the Hopatora. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for giving us the Holy Ghost. So, receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Yarakomba, the Hora Bashedder, the Kobatora. Begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for giving the Holy Ghost. Now, begin to thank him. Open your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Lift up your eyes and talk to him and say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Now, begin to thank him for giving you the Holy Ghost. Say, Hora Bakora, the Shedder, the Kobat, the Hora, the Shedder, the Kobat. Say, Hora Bakora, the Shedder, receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Holy Ghost. Begin to thank him. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Hora Kamba, the Shedder, the Kobat. Yeah, receive the Holy Ghost to the overflow in the name of Jesus Christ. We start up in this gift in you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Give me the Sahara, Kamba, the Shedder, the Kobat, the Kobat, the Kobat, the Shedder, the Kobat. Receive the Holy Ghost to the overflow in the name of Jesus Christ. Sahara, Kamba, the Shedder, the Kobat, the Kobat, the Kobat, the Shedder, the Kobat. Sahara, Bakora, the receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So begin to thank the Lord from now on. Just thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving you the Holy Ghost. He is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Bacon, the Shedder, the Combat, the Holy. Send the Combat, the Holy Bashedder, the Combat, the Holy Bashedder, the Combat. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for giving the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, for giving the Holy Ghost. Amen, 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 amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, as Pastor Julius said, you continue in prayer. The Lord will continue to minister to you. Right now, we're going to do something. Every one of us that can pray or speak in tongues, let's pray that we should interpret. And let's pray also that we should prophesy. Because the Bible says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And he wants us to do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Throughout the Bible, we see places where when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues, magnified God, and prophesied. And I've seen it in real life many, many times in many services where people will get saved and then they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues and prophesy. Lift up your hands all over this place, everybody. Fear not, the Bible says. We must release ourselves to the Spirit of God. We can't walk in fear. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. God has not given you the spirit of bondage to fear. Begin to pray that God, if you are able to speak in tongues, pray that you may interpret. And if you are able to speak in tongues, pray that you should prophesy. Because greater is he that prophesied than he that speaks in tongues. So that you may edify the body of Christ. Pray that you may prophesy. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Let the Holy Ghost now fall on me. Let him fall on me. Let him fall on me.
fall on me. Let him fall on me. Let the Holy Ghost now fall on me. Let him fall on me. Let him fall on me. Let the Holy Ghost now fall on me. Now we cannot teach you how to speak in tongues. It is the Holy Spirit that gives utterance. But there is something you must do. You must begin speaking in tongues. You can't speak in your language that you know. Paul said, listen to this, folks. Paul said, I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. That means you have the power to decide whether you want to pray with your spirit or whether you want to pray with your understanding. So begin, when you want the Lord to give you the gift of speaking in tongues, you must, if you are praying, I want you to open your mouth and be praying aloud, but not loud enough to disturb your neighbor. Just praying. But at some point in time, you have to not speak in English or the language you understand and begin to speak the words that he gives you. And you must not doubt in your heart. This is how it works. Hallelujah. Fall on me. Let the Holy Ghost now fall on me. And I want to tell you that, look, when you leave this place tonight, practice the presence of the Lord. Don't wait for some big anointing. We find out that people can speak in tongues anytime. If you are praying, you can switch to speaking in tongues. Or you can pray with your spirit. By the same way, you can also switch to prophesying after you have prayed that God should give you the gift, because it is his desire that we should have these things. And you can switch also to interpretation. Speak in tongues and wait and then interpret. Don't worry about it. God will do it for you. Amen. Amen, folks. And also, when you are speaking in your known language, switch it off and begin to speak in tongues. It's that simple. But you must switch. You have to make the switch. Holy Ghost cannot make the switch for you. He will give you the utterance, but you must switch it. Switch it and begin to speak. And then when you begin to speak, just enjoy his presence. And then after you speak for a while, pray that you should interpret. And God will give you a beautiful experience. He will begin to make you interpret the things that you are saying. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. You begin to interpret the things that you are praying about. And that is a gift that God will use in intercessions. He will bring things to you that you don't even know about. You begin to pray for people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are going to be...
Amen. It is also important when God speaks to us that we take heed lest we grieve the Holy Spirit. When He's speaking to us, take heed to what He said. Hallelujah. Now that was prophecy. That was not interpretation. She began to speak in tongues, and there was an inspiration for her to prophesy. And God told us that He has given us the key. Let's believe God. Let's take heed to the warnings and the exhortations of the Holy Spirit. Said we should not take this lightly. This is what we have been seeking. God has given us the key. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He wants us to understand the workings of the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. This is the victory. This is how we live a victorious Christian life. Don't be afraid, folks. Don't be afraid. When you go home tonight, I want you to pray with your understanding and then pray with your spirit. If you have never done that before, don't worry about it. Just do it. You have prayed and hands have been laid upon you. And it is God's will for you to have it. But you must exercise the gift. Exercise the gift. Just as you pray, and then switch and begin to pray. The same thing works for interpretation of tongues. When you speak in tongues, just speak for a little bit. Don't speak for an hour if you want to interpret. Speak for a little bit and then switch after you have prayed that God should give you interpretation. When you speak in tongues and then you have prayed before that and then you switch, God will bring the interpretation. It works just like that. You don't need to know anything. You have to believe by faith. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You have to use your faith. Praise the Lord. We want to thank God.
The Holy Spirit is saying that the key He has given to us to open the door that will lead to other doors is not just for the church use alone. He said, have you not read from my words that the gift are given for us to profit with that? The dark part of your life, the secret is you never understood as individuals. You will use this same key to open the door.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A sister has something in the back to say. Amen. God is encouraging us to use this key that He has given us, and it will work for us victoriously, even revealing deeper things to us in our lives. And He's encouraging us to be in one accord. Very important. They were all in one accord in one place. Let us have the same mind and the same spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't be of doubtful disposition. Don't say in your heart, what is all this? You know, and so forth. Be ye not mockers, because God said, I will do a work in your days. And the ear that hears it will tingle. Hallelujah. God is beginning, we are going back to basics now. You see, because we need some building blocks. You know, we cannot build a house from the roof. Some of us have been trying to build it from the roof. We threw away many things and tried to jump to the roof. No, we are going back to the building blocks. And then we'll build it up. Jesus said, I will build my church. Praise the name of the Lord. So, practice the presence of the Lord throughout this weekend. And remember, on Sunday, by the grace of God, we are meeting here for fellowship again. You know, for the first time. Maybe it will be your first time. Actually, seek the Lord before the service. Don't just watch television all day or be on Facebook all day and do all of that and then come to the service. Seek the Lord and see what He will give you. He may not give you anything at that moment, but when you present your body as a living sacrifice, during worship here, He may visit you and give you something for the church. Praise the Lord. And we want to encourage people to be doing that. And if you hear from God, while you are at home, write it down, because you may forget. Write it down. Doesn't mean that it has to be only on the spur of the moment. All these things that we are reading in the Bible, people wrote it down. That's why we are reading it now. If they didn't write it down, we won't read anything. Praise the Lord. Write it down. The Lord may give it to you, write it down. Don't be afraid. Praise the Lord. Let's thank Him. Let's stand up and thank Him. He has visited us tonight. It is now time to thank Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for the gifts that He has given us richly. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for speaking to us tonight. See, if you are still afraid, you still have that fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Release yourself. Let God touch you so you can flow. There's a song that they say, I give myself away so He can use me. Actually, I like to sing that song, but I always sing it like, I give myself to You, Lord, so You can use me. Give yourself to the Lord so that He can use you, so you can benefit others as well. Praise the Lord. And let us not be self-centered. Let us not think only for our own gain. When you come to church, don't think only of what you are going to gain from the Lord. The part that you are going to do is to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the true spirit of holiness. And God will make you function as part of that body. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and just sing hallelujah to thank Him just before we close. Hallelujah. I've seen the Holy Ghost fall on people even with this song. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, hallelujah, 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 Father, we thank You, Lord, for visiting us tonight. Help us, Lord, to be in preparedness. Help us to present our body as a living sacrifice. Help us to practice that throughout this weekend. Folks, practice it, because on Sunday, it's going to be a special service. And we're going to witness the power of God moving the congregation on Sunday. Present your body as a living sacrifice throughout this weekend. Put yourself in a position that God will visit you. In the name of Jesus. Having therefore, dearly beloved, these precious promises. The promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you have heard of me. Let us cleanse ourselves, cleanse our minds from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you, cause his face to shine upon you. And pray, folks. We're going to be talking about this on Sunday. Pray that God will show you his glory. Pray that God will show you his glory, folks. Because that's what the Holy Ghost brings into our lives. Pray that God will show you the Holy Ghost. Moses prayed for it. And the Holy Ghost will reveal the character of God. I will cause my goodness to pass before you. As we go home tonight, the Lord keep you and bring you back safely on Sunday. Amen. And we're going to have a wonderful time. Exercise the gifts and believe God. And stay humble. Even as the Lord is using you, stay humble. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday by God's grace. Amen.